I speak your name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Been anywhere lately? Nod your head. Where have we been? Been to Bethlehem. And today, we're still in the neighborhood. We'll be leaving it soon as we plunge into Epiphany. But today is still the Christmas season. Think of places you've been that you've got really good memories. Beautiful scenery, special meal, meeting new faces, trying maybe to speak for the first time in a different language. I have a friend, he was an instructor of mine in college, and he was for many years a missionary in Japan. And the Japanese language, like many Asian languages, is tonal. You change the entire meaning of a word by the intonation that you put on it. And he's riding a bus in Japan, and he jumps up and he shouts what he thinks is stop. What he really said was, please kill me. So, learning the language is really important, and how to say the words. We're all learning something new in this annual pilgrimage we make to Bethlehem, because it's never the same. We arrive and we leave each time with different learnings. Now, I don't know who cast the characters for this particular little scene we've been watching, this play, this Bethlehem play. Oh, I love to see it enacted by children. I'm a child of the 50s. And what was standard wear for shepherds in the nativity play in the 50s? Bathrobe, towel, sometimes sandals maybe, or just whatever tennis shoes we had on at the time. But here we've got this cast of characters, from Mary and Joseph to Herod, to the shepherds, to the Magi, and they all play such different roles. But casting the right cast is vital for the success of a show or a play. One of my favorite TV comedies is Everybody Loves Raymond. Love Everybody Loves Raymond. Whoever cast those people for those roles was absolutely brilliant. They make the series. So God in his wisdom begins to cast out this most important of all plays and the emotions that accompany the characters. We see wise men or magi. Now, not magicians, that's not what it means. They're astrologers. Like many ancient people, and some people today, believe that the movement of the planets in the heavens or the appearance of a star or a comet foretells something. And they had been studying their charts and pondering, and I think also moved by the Holy Spirit, and they're drawn to Bethlehem. We'll talk about that later. And they come, and they come to Jerusalem, and they ask, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? And King Herod loses it. He's not a nice man. He's an evil man. He's an ugly man. And he does bad things to people. And he fears neither God nor others. And he's immediately alarmed. Look at his reaction to the good news. Alarm. The Bible uses the word fear. He's afraid that he may give up his power, that he too may bend the knee, and Herod's not going to do that. Some of us, unfortunately, are Herod. We're not going to bend the knee. We're not going to bow to the Savior. We're going to steam under our own power into whatever. Not a good choice. Others are Mary, that humble, quiet soul. Do you realize how little we know of her? When I first came to Good Shepherd, I hope you all remember him too. I remember Dan Brown, and Dan stood right in this very pulpit one Sunday and preached about how perfect it is that we know so little of Mary. She is the ultimate servant. She acquiesces to God. She is the Theotokos, the God-bearer. But she's mentioned very seldom in the pages of the Scripture. And there comes a time where she kind of passes off the scene after the execution of her son. That perfect servant, that willingness to be a vessel, thank God for the Marys of the world. And then the shepherds, they represent the Jewish poor of the time. And they come too. And their first reaction is fear, but that fear translates soon into wonder and a need to go see. And then there's the Magi. We don't know how many. We have three down here, but the Scripture never tells you three. You can win a bet with that one. Nowhere in the Bible does it say three wise men. There were three gifts, but they were vastly expensive gifts. Maybe three or four chipped in on one. Maybe there were 12 wise men. We don't know. So the Magi show up, and I want you to look at both them and the shepherds. They represent the opposite extremes of society. Many of the shepherds, probably illiterate, poor people of the earth. And here, these learned, educated, studious gentlemen from the east, probably from what is Iran today, from Persia. And we don't know how long it took them to get there. We do know that Herod died in 4 BC. And it may have taken them a while to get to Jerusalem. Now, what do they know of Jesus? Not what we know. They don't know who they're going to see. They don't know the story of the gospel. They don't know the resurrection. They know none of that. All they know is that something wondrous has happened. And they've got to go see what it is and who it is. And off they go on their desert ships, the camel. Folks, if that doesn't represent us, I don't know what does. Wandering. In Tolkien's series, The Ring, the rangers have kind of a motto, not all who wander are lost. I love that. We may wander, but we're not lost. We're going somewhere. In this case, we're going to Bethlehem. And each year I visit Bethlehem, I come away with something new. Some part of me moves, some part of me changed. It's never the same as I wander my time on earth. And then they reach the place. They reach the place where they do homage. They bow down. They bend the knee. They submit to the presence of God. Folks, we all need a place to stop and to be filled. Many years ago, my mother and father decided to take us to see our great aunt in Thomas, West Virginia. Now, folks, if you haven't been in Thomas, West Virginia, well, you could probably ride through it and not know it, but it's an old, decrepit mining town. Many of the people, Polish descent, lots of Catholics up there. They were the miners. And so we left Morgantown, visiting one set of relatives, and went over to Thomas. And folks, there were winding, no four-lane highways in those days, winding mountain roads. You would meet yourself coming down the other side of the mountain, and steep drop-offs of several thousands of feet, often on one side of the road. And my brothers and I, there were actually seven of us, my family and my grandmother, crammed into a Rambler Classic 660 1964 station wagon. It was a box with an engine. And we're sitting there, we're starting to cut up, and my father said, enough of this, enough, we're going to stop. These kids are going to get out, burn some energy. It's late morning, we're hungry, we're going to eat. Well, folks, try finding a place on a mountain road in that part of West Virginia. And we did find a place. Clapboard shack, sawdust floor, picnic tables inside the restroom. Now my mother's already making back steps to leave. My father said, "We're not going anywhere. We're going to sit right here and we're going to rest a while." The two people in there, mother and daughter, were shocked. I don't think they'd ever seen seven people in this place at one time in many years. So here we are sitting at picnic table and sawdust floors, and little girl comes out and takes our order. Daddy just said, "We'll bring everybody scrambled eggs, bacon, biscuits, coffee, orange juice. We've got the whole thing." And he's looking at my mother going, "I'm going to really get stuck. These people are going to charge me God knows what for this meal." And they brought out platters, not individual plates, platters of scrambled eggs and bacon, homemade sausage, homemade jelly, homemade biscuits, and freshly squeezed orange juice. We watched them squeeze it out. And my father's going, "Oh no, I can feel my wallet getting lighter and lighter and lighter." Well, the end of that experience came, and Dad asked for the bill, and the mother and daughter were whispering in the corner, and finally she came over and said, "Sir, would $1 a piece be too much?" My father's going, "No, that'd be fine." My mother's going, "No, you're going to pay what this is worth. Not going to give them $7 for all this." No, even though it was 1965, 64, somewhere around in there. But folks, it's the experience of that sojourn in that restaurant with really good, simple people who served us well and honored us with their food and their care and their attention. We all need to sometimes go to the oasis and rest. Bethlehem's a good place to come for a while and rest. Rejuvenate. Take in the mystery and wonder of all this story before we hurtle headlong into the world. Because how does this story end? It ends with these mysterious kings from the east, these magi, returning to their own country. As each of us do. We leave this wonderful oasis that we're in for this moment, but we're destined to return to our own country. Some back to work, back to home, back to college, back to school, back to jobs. Off we go. But are you the same for having been to Bethlehem? Amen.